Hey guys, welcome to the T-Wood Show. I'm your host, Travis Woodham, and welcome back for episode number 5 with one of my good friends, Ryan Beatles, on the show. We'll be talking some tactics and coaching styles with a little mix of Manchester United talk. I personally am not a full-fledged loyal fan of Man U myself, but my good friend Ryan Beatles is a very, very big fan of Manchester United. So he'll be talking a little bit about that, actually a lot about that, and we'll also talk a little bit about formations with maybe youth kids. What age should youth players start learning about tactics? Or should they just focus on their technical ability? We'll talk about that, but let me introduce our special guest, Ryan Beatles. Ryan, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited to be here and excited for this opportunity. Thanks, Jeff.
Of course, man. Yeah, you were actually my best man, as you know, obviously. I mean, why would you not know that you're my best man? But thank you for coming up, making the trip here to Raleigh. I know, all the way from Greenville, 4-hour trip. I used to do that trip all the time because when I was dating my wife and we were engaged, I was actually up here working at 323 Sports here in Raleigh, North Carolina. But I would make the trip almost every weekend to Greenville, South Carolina. So it was about a 4-hour trip down I-40. And I would see you usually too as well. You know, we gotta make sure we're staying connected as good friends from college and stuff like that. But when did we actually meet? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember when we were both trying out for the Bruins soccer team. And we were both at a summer camp Coach McCormick was putting on. And I remember you there. I thought you were very quiet. I didn't like you because I thought you were better than me, and I thought you would take my place in the team. But obviously, we were both able to make it, which was really cool. But that was the first time we really met that I remember. What do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that tryout. It was really a big moment for both of us. But at the same time, I do recall we were all kind of out there trying to prove ourselves and not really care too much about the other players because we want to make it ourselves, right? And I think that's kind of what was going through our heads. You know, there's a lot of pressure with, you know, making a team anyways. So you don't really have that time to be like, hey, let's be really good buddies right now. It's like, no, we're actually competing against each other. But I think that was really good, this kind of starting our friendship off, you know, being competitive. And I think we both are. I think we're still both very competitive. And there were actually, we were roommates. I believe it was my second semester freshman year, I think, and your first semester sophomore year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I halfway through the semester, I moved into your room, and the rest is history, Travis. The rest is history.
Now, I think there was bloodshed at one point, wasn't there?
Yes, you made my nose bleed. So I'm going to get you back for that right now. Ready?
Oh, my goodness, dude. You do not come close to me. Don't touch me, dude. No, but seriously, I did give Ryan Beatles a bloody nose because I was wrestling him to the ground because he accused me of liking somebody, which I didn't. And so I got really mad at him for that. For some reason, you know, my flesh just got to me like, stop talking about this. It's not true. I don't like this person or this girl. Okay? And so Beatles kept teasing me about it. I was like, dude, you just need to shut up. But he didn't. Okay, guys? He didn't. And so I just took him and wrestled him to the ground, and somehow gave him bloody nose. I don't know, did I hit your nose with my fist, or did you hit your nose on the bedpost? What happened?
He liked you, by the way. But I don't know. I don't think I hit it on anything. I think it just started bleeding. We were exercising so hard. I was trying to get you off me. You're a little bit bigger than I am, so I don't remember what it was that why I started bleeding. I just remember I started bleeding, and then we stopped.
Okay. Now, how tall are you?
5'6" on a good day.
How much do you weigh? Do you mind telling everybody?
Between 150 and 155, somewhere in there, I think.
Now, I think you did add on some more weight since our freshman year of college, or your sophomore year, because you do like to work out. So the weight difference, guys, really isn't that much right now, currently, because I'm like 185. So right now, if we wrestled, I think it would be a competitive match. Actually, you might actually have the advantage because you do have a lower center of gravity. Because I'm around 5'11", 6 foot on a good day, 185, and you would probably go for my legs first. But anyway, let's get to it, guys. But how did you get started with soccer, Beatles? How did you fall in love with the game?
So growing up, I was actually a baseball player growing up. I loved baseball, and I played it a lot. And then I kind of got to the point where I got bored of baseball, got tired of baseball. My teams weren't very good. I wasn't really winning. And at a young age, it's important to win to stay interested in the game. Anyways, I just got bored with it. And I had a friend who asked me to play soccer on his county team. So I ended up playing on the county team for a couple seasons. And I think I scored 2 or 3 goals my first game. So that was pretty cool. And then I moved from that team to another team that had a bunch of my friends on it, even guys I played with all the way through college. And we were able to grow together on that team. And then I got into middle school and played middle school and then high school. And so I've pretty much been playing ever since I was in early elementary school.
I like that. Now, Beatles and I play together for the very first time, like we mentioned before when I opened up this show, that we played on the Bob Jones University Bruins team. Now, at the time, in 2012, that was the very first year Bob Jones University had an intercollegiate soccer team. For a very long time, they were intramural, meaning they would just play within societies, within the same school. They would never go and play at another university or college. But 2012 was a big year for Bob Jones. And Ryan Beals and I were lucky enough to make the roster and to play together. And that's really, I think, what solidified our friendship. I think it maybe added a little bit more when we became roommates. But it's nothing like it, guys, being on a team, a soccer team, because as you guys know, if you're listening to the soccer podcast, you probably are involved with soccer in some way. And I think you guys can relate that some of your best friendships, I feel like, come from playing the game. I mean, any sport, really. But yeah, so Beals and I, we've been friends ever since. Now tell me, is there any game, or what position did you play at Bob Jones University normally? Did you play left back normally?
Yeah, that first year in 2012, I started almost every game at left back. As we progressed the next few seasons, I played left wing as well, and I even played some striker. I played right wing a few games too, I think. So I kind of played everywhere except for like in the middle of the park or right back. Yeah.
Now, I think you scored 1 or 2 goals, or do you remember how many?
I scored against Clearwater, which is probably the best game to score. If you're a Bob Jones fan, you know, you definitely always want to score against Clearwater. So I had an assist that game. I hit the crossbar that game, and then I finally scored. So
now you have a wicked left cross. Guys, Ryan Beals is left-footed, by the way. So I think it was smart for Jesse McCormick, the coach of Bob Jones University Bruins soccer team, to put you back there. And I feel like you were perfect there because you're very quick. You're not very tall, but that doesn't matter as a left back, really. Or even as a left wing. Or right wing, right back. But you need speed and you need a killer cross to whip it in. So you'd have, I remember actually, I was on the bench at one point. I think it was a freshman year. But you went down the field on the left flank and just had this like crazy whippage on this ball. And it was a laser, but I think you hit the crossbar. It actually ended up being like a shot, I think. I forget what game it was. But everybody on the bench just got up and like, oh. And like everybody in the crowd was like, oh. You know, it was a crazy shot, I remember specifically.
I remember, yeah.
But I can't remember who we were playing. But do you remember?
I don't remember who we were playing, but I know what you're talking about. It was, I remember the ball was coming out to me. It was just kind of like dribbling slowly. I remember, I think it was Andrew Moise that was kind of running towards me to get the ball. And I was running towards the goal I was trying to score on. And the ball was just kind of slowly bouncing toward me, and I called Andrew off, and I hit it, and it felt like I was hitting a balloon, which means I hit it really, really well. If you hit a soccer ball like perfectly, it feels like you're hitting a balloon, and it stayed pretty low, and it beat the keeper and everything, and it hit the post and came back out, and I remember thinking, after the game, I got on my phone, and somebody had tweeted something about my shot from like 30 yards out or 35 yards out. And I was like, this kid's messing around. Like, there's no way it was that far out. I thought I was like right outside the box. So I went home that night and rewatched it. And I was like 30 yards out. And if I would have known I was that far out, I probably wouldn't have shot it.
No, but I think it was a great shot at that time. So anyway, we enjoyed our time for sure. And sometimes I wish that we were still playing because I feel like we got a lot better. I know me personally, like if we kept playing, we would just keep getting better and better and better, obviously. But anyway, we had a great time at Bob Jones University as teammates. And you're here now. You're here now hanging out as my first overnight guest that is a friend other than family, I believe, here at my house in Clayton. But let's talk a little bit about who your favorite club is and maybe a favorite player from that club. Now, are you a Manchester United fan?
I am through and through. I love Manchester United. I love watching their games, and I love just keeping up with the club in general. Something I learned in one of my classes is something really cool about sports and sports teams is a lot of times the teams that you like, you identify with them. There's something about the club, about the team, about the way that they play that like resonates with you. And that's how it is with Manchester United and I. Well, how they played back under Ferguson, not so much now under Mourinho. But
okay.
But anyways, that really much resonates with me. The club, they're a very classy club. Usually they do things really well. They're very professional. And I like to try to be like that as well in my personal life and daily work as well. So anyways, I love Manchester United and I'm a big fan. I became a fan. I think it was like Ferguson had like a couple of years left before he retired. That's really when I became a fan. I started to follow them almost religiously.
I like that. Now, Manchester United. Glory, glory, Man United. Okay, they have had some very, very good players. I mean, they still do. But they've attracted tons of superstars throughout the years. But who is one player altogether, Manchester United, okay, in history? Who is your favorite Manchester United player? Who's your favorite Red Devil?
Oh, man, that's so difficult. There's been so many great players that come through Manchester United. I probably the one, if I look back through the years of, you know, being a fan of Manchester United, I wish I could have seen more of this player. And I've watched tons of his highlights, his Paul Scholes. He was a majestic midfielder, possibly one of the best of his time. Well, he was the best of his time when he was in his prime. He was one of the best midfielders in the world. I love looking up what other really, really good midfielders say about him. Even Toni Kroos recently talked about how he wished he could play like Scholes. So Scholes was just an amazing player. His vision and his passing, his pinpoint accuracy was just awesome. And even when I played at Bob Jones in high school, I'd much rather pass the ball than dribble. So I admired someone like a Paul Scholes, even like a David Beckham as well, who could whip those crosses. And I loved watching players like that. Anyways, Paul Scholes would probably be my favorite Manchester United player ever.
I like that. That's a good selection. Now, for me, I'm not a Manchester United fan. I am a fan of the team. I can't say that I'm a loyal fan. I'm not, like, committed. I haven't fully committed to them. Quite frankly, I haven't really fully committed to any Premier League team yet. But I will say I have favorited Tottenham for a while. This is not just because they've been doing better recently. But this is back when even Dempsey was on the team. I think that kind of Clint Dempsey was really the first player to really kind of pique my interest in Tottenham. I think that's where it started for me. And I know Yedlin was after that. And of course, you know, you got Kane and now you have Dele Alli. You also have Eriksen, which is a crazy midfielder player. I mean, he's very good. But Scholesy on Manchester United, I feel like he was, yes, that's a great selection. I can't agree more on that. Seriously. I think a lot of people actually forget about him. Because he wasn't like... A lot of people pick the strikers because they score a bunch of goals. You know, like Ronaldo, for instance. Or even Van Nistelrooy. Who's another big striker?
Rooney.
Rooney. Which, by the way, Rooney just scored for DC United against Tim Howard, the Colorado Rapids. It was a 5-hole goal. Right through Tim Howard's legs. It wasn't that great of a goal, but it's a first goal for Rooney, for DC United, which is good for him. But anyway, many people do forget about midfield players sometimes, and Scholesy was a great one. But let's kind of move on a little bit more about Manchester United, and kind of this whole podcast is really about tactics and coaching styles with the mindset of Manchester United. Mourinho. What's your initial thoughts about him, just in general?
He's had a lot of success. That's kind of what I think about when I first think about Jose Mourinho, is he's had a lot of success. Porto and Inter and Real Madrid, Chelsea, he's had success pretty much everywhere he's gone. So that's exciting as a Manchester United fan, just to think about that.
Yeah, and how many teams has he managed so far? I mean, he's, in his career, I mean, he's been all over. I mean, he's been at Chelsea, Manchester United, Porto, Real Madrid.
Inter Milan.
Is it AC Milan?
Inter Milan.
Oh, Inter Milan. So very high-profile clubs. I think he has his chip on his shoulder a little bit. Just, I don't know, kind of the way he carries himself. I don't know, that's just my opinion. But I feel like he is deserving of it. I mean, he's won titles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody can blame him for the chip that he does have on that shoulder. Sometimes it's sour, you know, it's a sour cream chip. but other times it's a Dorito, you know, it could stink a little bit after a while. But he's got the sweet and sour chip. So sometimes it's a little sweet, like, oh yeah, I believe you, you won all these titles. But sometimes it's a little sour because he can have that little, you know, I'm better than you arrogance, which I think is great for entertainment. But what is his real coaching style? Does he have a style personally? Like, I mean, throughout his teams, I feel like he has a certain style. What do you think?
Yeah, he's been known as a defensive-minded coach, a coach that has a staunch defense, which I think Man U gave up. We had the second-best defense, I think, in the Premier League last year, I think. So, yeah, he really likes to make sure that other teams don't score against him. He's also known for parking the bus, which is a tactic I detest, but it has won us a game or two, so I guess I shouldn't be too upset with it. But yeah, he's really known as a defensive coach.
Okay. So you don't necessarily like a defensive style, or do you like that?
No, I can't stand defensive style soccer. I love the attacking style. The style that we had, Manchester United had under Sir Alex Ferguson, I would consider as an attacking style. I love just constantly running down the field, trying to score either fast breaks, counterattacks, and then just, you know, scoring as many goals as you can. I mean, Manchester United beat AS Roma, I think, one time 7-1.
Whew.
You know, that you don't hear that hear any of that under Mourinho. Mourinho, like, he scores two goals and then he sits back. Like, I can't stand that. I'd much rather win a game 7-5, you know, than win it 1-0. So, I mean, I like goals. I like scoring. I like to be entertained. And I think that's what soccer, I think that's how soccer should be played. So I prefer much more attacking style. So,
yeah. I think as Americans, we love the strong, big, fast players. We love the goals. Think about it, really the other sports in America. I mean, the points that are scored, or the point system, is much higher than any other sport. Than, you know, for soccer, you know, a goal is 1 point. But if you really think about, like, NFL, one touchdown is 6 points. But should it be one? I mean, if you actually look at the NFL, seriously, dude, if they score three touchdowns, that's only 3 points. But Americans, I feel like, we're just so used to seeing massive goals, massive touchdowns, massive home runs. You know, we like big scores, I feel like, Tennessee. But what are your thoughts? I mean, I know you like the attacking side. I personally like attacking. I think it's cool. I mean, everybody likes the goals.
Yeah.
But defensively, I mean, you need that.
I mean, yeah, I agree. But what I'm saying with the attacking, the things that I like, is that's what's going to get me out of my seat. I mean, maybe a good tackle might get me out of my seat if I'm watching a game. But I love watching the combination play and the runners making, you have third runner options and stuff like that when players overlap, different things like that. Like, that's what gets me excited. Even if a goal doesn't come out of it, I love watching just intricate passing, close quarters passing. I like watching stuff like that. That's what really gets me excited. Even, I mean, I talk about attacking football, but I mean, even if you had a soccer game where there was no goals and people just played keep away, but they had really good passing, like, that's what gets me excited as well. I enjoy watching that. But obviously the point of soccer is to score goals and to win. So to incorporate that really good passing into goals, that's what I love to watch.
Yeah. Well, then Mourinho, I mean, even though he has a defensive style, I feel like he has somewhat of a possession style then. Because by default, if you have a defensive style, you know, once you win the ball, you're not actually looking to attack right away then. You're looking to more keep the ball a little bit. You know, maybe. I don't know. But I think having a defensive style kind of does play a little bit of a possession style, naturally. Do you agree with that? I mean...
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. I do know, though, at Real Madrid, they did have a really, really good counter-attacking team when Mourinho was there. And Manchester United, we scored a couple counter-attacking goals here in the past season or two. But under Mourinho, it tends to be pretty slow in possession and a slow build-up by him. That's how most of the games go for Manchester United. But every once in a while, you will see lightning counter-attack. And like I said, Real Madrid was known for some really good counter-attacks, too, when he was there.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what formation does Mourinho play, you know, last year, Manchester United? What did they play?
How they lined up and how they played was probably a little bit different. It was kind of, I guess, like a 4-2-3-1 maybe. So it was like you had Matic, who'd always sit right there in front of the back line. And then like Herrera or Pogba would be in there in the midfield as well. We have our wingers and usually Lukaku up top. So maybe that would actually be a 4-2-4-1. I don't know. I can't count.
4-2-4-1. That's 8, 9, 10. That's 11. So, you have the 4-1-4.
Yeah, it's almost like a 4-1-4-1, actually. I mean, they would probably show it on the TV as a 4-2-3-1, but it's actually like a 4-1-4-1 because whoever's playing that second midfielder position, Pogba would usually go forward, Matic would usually stay back, and whoever played between them could do either, which would be like Andre Herrera or Fellaini or Michael Carrick, something like that. But usually Matic would stay back and Pogba would go forward in that midfield. But, I mean, he has a pretty strong – I mean, that formation is going to have a pretty strong midfield. It's going to hopefully protect our back line a little bit as well. But it gives you enough firepower to go forward.
How much confidence does Pogba have now that he won a World Cup and is coming up back to play for Manchester United? Is this – I mean, you saw Pogba actually have the discipline with France to do the dirty work. Do you think he's going to carry that with him into Manchester United season?
I mean, I obviously hope so. I feel like the French national team and the Manchester United actually have a lot of similarities because you have Conte who plays for France, and he's similar to a Matic. He's obviously faster than Matic is, but
definitely.
They both play that similar position, that disruptor role right there in front of the back line. So, and then they had Matuidi who played for France as well, and they're in that midfield sometimes as well. He would be there. That could be like an under Herrera role almost. So, I mean, it's kind of similar. So I feel like if Mourinho sets the team up right, then Pablo could bring that success he had with the World Cup into the squad, which I think we need that. So
yeah. Now, of course, you got Lukaku up top, who's just a monster. I mean, that guy is just a monster big guy. And he can just score goals and goals and goals. Now, Belgium played very well. I mean, they were unbeaten for a very long time going into this World Cup. How many players does Manchester United have that were in that final? I mean, let's just think through it. Matic, I mean, he played for
Serbia,
which they had decently played well. I think Matic played pretty well, I felt like. But, of course, you had Pogba, Lukaku up top.
Rashford, Lingard.
Lingard, you have Rashford.
Ashley Young.
A lot of English players, obviously.
Lindelof, center back.
Lindelof.
Lindelof also played for Sweden. De Gea played for Spain. Jones was technically on England. I don't think he may have played like the last couple games when they knew that, or the last game when they knew they were, his third place game. Fellaini also played for Belgium. Fred was on Brazil. I don't think he played it up. Fred was on Brazil. He's our new signing. So that's quite a few of our players who were represented at the World Cup, which is pretty cool. But at the same time, it's going to give us a tough start to the season, I think.
Yeah. Now, there's one thing that does kind of, in the professional world, professional soccer, with these guys coming back from the World Cup into their club teams again, it's kind of funny sometimes to me is when you might have some teammates on your club team that you literally just played in a World Cup final or quarterfinals or semifinals, whatever. But it's interesting sometimes the chemistry can change a little bit. Pogba that sticks out to me as he is a leader and he's somewhat of a diva a little bit. But hey, he can carry this Manchester United team, man. The guy's, he's good. So I feel like, having a formation where he can really flourish, is he more of a defensive player or would you rather see him play more of an attacking role?
I mean, I'd definitely like to see him play more of an attacking role. Obviously, I think that's where his strengths are. I feel like, you know, Juventus got played him well in their formations, which I'm not really sure what formation they used with him, but I know he played like on the left side of the midfield. But they were really able to get a good use out of Pogba playing, and he played in a more advanced role at Juventus for sure. So I'd like to, obviously, to play forward. He has a great strike with either foot, honestly. He's very long. He's pretty quick for a tall guy, too. So obviously, I'd like to see him stay more forward, obviously, than coming back.
Yeah, of course. And Manchester United just played Liverpool in the International Champions Cup. 4-1 loss to Liverpool in the big house, which, mind you guys, I am from Michigan originally, so I'm a big University of Michigan fan. Sadly, I have never been to the big house, I have to admit, and I really need to get there at some point. But Manchester United played Liverpool in a packed big house, which is over 100,000 people there, which is crazy for soccer numbers. But they obviously didn't have everybody. You know, Pogba didn't play, I don't think. Did he play?
Pogba?
I don't think he did, no. And so preseason is always kind of just a throw-out games for me. Just because, I mean, it's really just there for entertainment. These players, it's preseason. I mean, they don't want to get injured. But Shaqiri, yeah, he took that risk. I mean, that goal was amazing, though, you have to admit. I mean, Shaqiri is a big signing, but is he going to play for Liverpool much this season? What do you think? I mean, did that goal actually help him kind of solidify himself there?
I mean, I don't think he'll start most games. I mean, any of their big games in the Premier League and any of their big games in the Champions League, I doubt he'll start. He'll probably sit behind Bobby Firmino and Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. But, I mean, he'll probably get some good runouts as well for them. They also have Daniel Sturridge as well. So, I don't know. If you're an attacker right now looking for a team, don't go to Liverpool. That's all I can really say. So,
okay. Now, going back to formations, though, why does a formation really matter?
I like looking at formations and trying to discern what teams are using. I think that, like, tactically, it's almost like a battle of wits in a sense between the coaches. I mean, when you get to a super high level like these professionals are, I mean, all of the players in the field are going to be very good. Obviously, you're not going to really have like a weak link that much. In professional soccer, so it really comes down to tactics and trying to give your team a legal advantage by how you set them up and how you run the squad. So,
yeah. Now, I personally haven't been a huge nerd about formations. For me, it's more about just getting out there and scoring goals and winning the game. But it's more of the how, or how do you win these games? So, for me, I have to grow a lot in this area. I feel like I don't know much about formations. I know the basics, but I'm not going to, you know, spend all day on this. You know, that's just me personally. But I know you really like coaching styles and formations. But what is one thing, like, why are you so interested in it?
I mean, I don't really know why I'm so interested in it. I just really like it. I mean, it's part of the game that I love so much. So it's more than just going out and scoring goals, like you were saying. I like to try to figure out, okay, why did that guy score that goal? Why did he get that opportunity? How did he get that opportunity? And like, how can, if my team got scored on, how can my team prevent that? Or if my team did the scoring, how can we continue to exploit the opportunity that we got to win or to score, excuse me, to score a goal? So I don't know. I just enjoy doing that.
Now, would you ever coach one day? Do you ever have aspirations to coach a soccer team and implement formations? And also, the second part to this question, when should you start implementing formations to kids? What age do you think?
Yeah, I'd love to coach someday. That'd be really cool. I've had a burden to coach high school for a long time now, so I'm hoping that someday I can get that opportunity. I think formations, tactics should be introduced to kids. Definitely not too early. At the young ages, we want them to work on their technical ability and getting touches on the ball and just kind of focus on having fun and just kind of learning the game in a general sense. But if kids are really have good technique and they're really interested in the game, maybe by 10 or 11 years old, you can start introducing actual tactics. I mean, they should know about formations a little bit before that, but I'm just kind of describing different advantages and disadvantages of certain formations and stuff like that, if you get it into their heads pretty young, then that really helps. I've even heard people say that a teenager who grows up playing in Europe is more tactically aware than a seasoned veteran in the MLS. And over in Europe, I think that they start with tactics and stuff like that a whole lot sooner than we do here in America with our kids. So,
yeah, I would definitely agree that it takes some focus and it takes, you know, time to learn formations. And I think it definitely is vital for a growth or development of a player to understand concepts of that, to understand what position he needs to be on the field, and to, you know, attack a team who has maybe a formation he can read, and then like, oh, let's adjust here and there, just depending on your coaching style, like defensive, you know, attacking minded or possession style, what fits best. And, you know, you can always tweak things as a coach. You know, you have some coaches who like just to say, no, we're going to be a 4-4-2 the whole season. Well, you know, sometimes you might need to be like a 3-5-2, or, you know, maybe have a better attacking presence. So anyway, this, I feel like for me, I need to learn a lot more about it. But if you guys who are listening who are interested in formations and tactics, you know, feel free to send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, Travis Woodham, just you can find me there. Send that my way. But let's talk a little bit about Pulisic or Pulisic. We've had this long-going debate about how to say his name. But if you guys can go on USASoccer.com and watch Christian Pulisic's video or Christian Pulisic's video, you will see himself say his last name. And that's how everybody should be saying it. I might actually have a clip of him saying this here so you guys can listen to see how he says his name. But how do you say Pulisic or Pulisic?
Pulisic.
That's not bad, dude. Let's see if who's correct. I'm going to play Christian Pulisic's, or Pulisic. I'm going to play his voice right about how to say his name right here, right now.
Done.
I'm Christian Pulisic. I'm Christian Pulisic. I'm Christian Pulisic. I'm Christian Pulisic.
All right, guys, so that's how you should say Pulisic or Pulisic, or however how he said it. Say it that way. But what... he has some ties to Manchester United. He loves Manchester United, I feel like. He's had tweets years ago. You showed me that tweet at that soccer game, at NCFC's game, as a Manchester United fan, but... do you think he'll ever become a Manchester United Red Devil?
I kind of doubt it, honestly. I would love to see it. I think that would be so cool to have an American on Manchester United, especially one. So just a good player as Christian Pulisic. So I'd love to see that. I kind of doubt he would make it. I follow a few Manchester United fan Twitter accounts, and a few of them have tweeted about wanting to get Pulisic on the team. So I think that he's getting recognition, but I don't know inside the club if, you know, if Mourinho had won him or I think he's a Mourinho style player, and the fact that he works very, very hard. Mourinho loves players that are like that, but I don't know, the whole adjustment to the Premier League and everything, I'd be surprised if we got him. I'd be very happy, but I'd be very surprised as well.
Yeah. Let's see how it pans out, guys. I think he's pretty happy at Dortmund right now. His dad has come out and said many times recently, just saying there is no reason for Christian to leave right now. But who knows? I think Dortmund actually just said they're actually not open to talks with him about contracts right now. So who knows? Maybe he will end up somewhere else than Dortmund in the next year. But anyway, we love any American players because we are U.S. citizens. We love the United States national team. So any really player who's out there in Europe who's playing for the USA or in the MLS, I mean, we'd love to see him and follow them. I'm sure you guys are as well. But if you guys are big Manchester United fans, you know, we got Manchester United games, as you guys know. Real Madrid on July 31st, Tuesday, they're playing Real Madrid. It's going to be a big game for Manchester United, playing against the Champions League champions, without Ronaldo, by the way. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch, July 31st. But then on August 5th, they play against Bayern Munich, which there actually was an MLS signing of a 17-year-old, Alfonso Davies, for the Whitecaps FC, who just signed a professional contract for Bayern Munich. which who will join Bayern at the end of the MLS season. So that's going to be a good game to watch, is Manchester United playing against Bayern August 5th. But then they open up the Premier League season against Leicester City. Just like Pulisic. Pulisic. Leicester City at Old Trafford. So that's a big upcoming games. Check them out. Obviously, I will have some stuff probably on my Facebook page about this as well. So check that out. Shoot me a message if you want to be on this podcast. We'd love to interview you if you love the game of soccer. But who's going to get the goals for the very first game against Leicester City? Manchester United, Leicester City at Old Trafford. Opening game. Who scores?
I'm going to go with Juan Mata. He scored at least 2 goals against Leicester last season. And I think Alexis Sanchez will bag at least 1 as well. So those will be my 2 scores.
Lukaku?
I doubt he'll play because he's not back from the World Cup yet. I very highly doubt he'll play. But
okay. Yeah. All right, guys. There you have it. Ryan Beatles, my best man at my wedding. One of my best friends ever. Bob Jones University teammate. Bob Jones University roommate. The rest is history. Thanks again for being on the show, Beatles. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Peace out.